Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
So how do we know the difference between a true prophet of God and a false prophet? What is the crux of the matter here? We throw that term around, and we should, because it's all over the Bible. Beware of false prophets, Jesus said, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And in that text, Matthew 7, 15 and on from there, especially 15 through 21, Jesus is talking about you shall know them or discern them by their fruits. Let me just sum this message up here up front as a thesis statement. A false prophet is someone who endears you to himself, his or herself, and to their ministry and not to the Lord, which would mean they're going to get you into the, wait for it, more sure word of prophecy, and that is specifically the Holy Scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21, Peter is saying by the Holy Ghost, and by the way, Peter was there, Peter, James, and John, when Jesus brought them to the Mount of Transfiguration, where the Father's voice was audibly heard. And Peter's bringing that back into remembrance and using that as a teaching by the Holy Spirit to the New Testament church in 2 Peter chapter 1, and showing us that even more sure than the literal audible voice of the Father from heaven is the word of prophecy recorded in the Holy Scriptures. Let me read that to you. That's absolutely beyond paramount in your life with Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to encourage you to pore prayerfully over this chapter repeatedly. So it really picks up in verse 12. But I'm going to pick up right here in verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. He's telling all believers, we're not following a fairy tale. Actually, those who tell you you are the ones actually following the fairy tale. Because if they're not following the Lord via his more sure word of prophecy, the Holy Scriptures, they're following fables and fairy tales. So he says, for we have not followed cunningly divined fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And we have it on record there. I believe it's Matthew 17 and Luke 9, that Mount of Transfiguration, where the voice of the Father spoke from heaven, and he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And beginning at verse 12 in the 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter, who was actually there and heard the Father's voice audibly, is recalling that he received from God the Father honor and glory. Jesus did. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. And this voice, Peter says, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now, wait a minute. More sure than what? Well, what did he just talk about? The audible voice of the Father speaking from heaven. And Jesus is saying here that we have an even more sure word of prophecy. So when you want to talk about the prophetic, I'm going to get to that in a minute. We've got a lot of scammers running around using the word prophetic. That immediately tells you about 99.9% of the time, that's a false prophet. Because he learned that word not from the Bible. I don't think the word prophetic ever appears in the Bible. And the definition of it in modern terms with these false ministries is not accurate. It's not according to the more sure word of prophecy, which we will get into a little bit more in a minute. Notice verse 19, 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, what chapter are you going to go home and read today? What chapter are you going to open your King James Bible and read today or this week, my friend? Well, I mean, among the other scriptures you're studying every day, right? I want to encourage you to lock it in, baby. 2 Peter chapter 1. Pour over it prayerfully. Grasp it and pray that God will reveal his truth to you here. And this is going to be a life changer. When you get a hold of, or should I say, when this revelation by the Holy Spirit who gave Peter this to write down, when that impregnates your heart, it's going to be a life changer. Some people say game changer. Well, understand that terminology, but this is not a game. This is the gospel. This is a life-changing revelation. You will never be the same because you're going to have even deeper revelation and conviction that the written Holy Scriptures are the more sure word of prophecy. And what is he talking about there? Well, in context, specifically, he's talking about the voice of the Father speaking from heaven, which he heard, and even speaking to the Son of God directly. And he's saying the word of the Scriptures, which he's getting ready to use that word, Scripture, is more sure than hearing an audible voice. Much less more sure than hearing some flake running around making you dependent on some word he gets every day instead of directing you straight to the word, Jesus, who gave you the word of God, the more sure word of prophecy. Why would you run to a mere sinner, a mere man posing as a representative of Christ for a word when you have the word? You're drinking from a poison fountain, my friend, and you are committing idolatry and spiritual adultery against the Lord you claim to serve. And I used to do that myself, specifically in this movement, and even used to prophesy and use the word prophetic many, many years ago. And they would invite me to churches and to homes that were full of people in different states. And there was a lot of prophetic flow. Guess what? Put an axe to the root. God brought conviction and quickened me back into getting people into his prophetic word, Genesis to Revelation. It's all there. And these people come out with these words and they borrow terms from all these other false prophets, which God's prophets in the Old Testament, namely Jeremiah and Ezekiel, specifically point out how they borrow each other's words. For example, every other person that prophesied to you, have you ever noticed? You're going to be a prophet to the nations. Oh, really? Really? Come on, folks, how gullible can we be? You've got the more sure word of prophecy, the word of God. And if you're too lazy to study it, it just shows you need to get saved. That's all. Repent and get saved. If you don't have time to study God's word and put him first and spend time in prayer with God every day, it's because you don't love him. And the sooner you own up to it, and you may be saying, this dude is mean. No, I love you, man. The ones that haven't told you this, they're lying to you. They hate you. What does it say in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5 and 6? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. See, a friend will wound you with the truth, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. See, they're coddling you in your sins. They just want you to come back so that they can have you as a nickel, nose, and numbered account. Why? Because they're building their own kingdom. See, men of God don't preach in respect to what other men that hear them are going to say or do. They preach in the holy fear of God. They operate out of the fear of God. They don't care what any man's going to do. They don't care if it's going to run away their biggest supporter. First of all, real men of God aren't quarantining themselves in some little church building. Those are the frauds of today, the modern church false prophets. That's not representative of Christ and his apostles. They didn't build a building, not one. They didn't raise a penny to build a building. They went out among the people. You haven't even paid attention when you read the New Testament if you don't understand that. Again, no church building. The whole earth where men dwell was their mission field. They weren't trying to corner a few people, corral a few people that they can entertain, make them feel good, and get money from to pay their salary and the mortgage and stuff like that. And a lot of these guys are fronting with good music. And a lot of those people involved in the music, most of them, I assume, are pretty well-meaning, but they're deceived. I used to be involved in that, too, personally. But these false prophets know how to put those musical players out there. I mean, that's kind of the lure that draws the fish. Because people, when there's good music and praise, they'll go to that. And they know, these false prophets know that. So they want those people coming to hear their word and not to get you in God's word. Now, if I asked you what percentage of people in ministry that you've ever heard are doing everything they can to get you in the word of God, if somebody asked me that, I would tell them I can't count the men that have tried to get me in the word of God, really get me in the word of God. I mean, I can count them on one hand, and I've been around some good ones. One hand. maybe two, but I doubt it. Less than five, probably. Wow. Who's getting you into God's word for yourself? Who's insisting the biblical truth? Who's sealing the law, the word of God, among the disciples of God, which means to get them in the word, to tell them, like Paul told Timothy, you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's why you're still running, many of you, to these false prophets, this person that has a prophetic word. Always got to have a prophetic word. Why? Because they have a gig going on. I'm going to talk about that. It's a bunch of witchcraft. They got a gig going on. They're building a constituency. They want the following. They don't fear God. They want the following. They've cashed in their crown because they're cross-denying wolves. And they're not willing to lay down their lives and walk in a daily crosswalk in the holy fear of God. If they were, they would be insisting and encouraging and exhorting and rebuking you and using the instruction of God to get you in the word. That's what the word commands. And that's why many of you are deceived. That's why you run to these false teachers to get a word, and you don't even know if that word's correct because you can't rightly divide the word of truth because you're not studying to show yourself approved. No, to study to show yourself, you study personally. If you don't love God enough to study his word, you don't love him. You don't know him. He doesn't know you. So we're going to finish here in 2 Peter 1, and then we're going to move on to exposing these gurus that we're talking about here. A guru is a false prophet, basically a modern definition of it, in that he is getting you to go to him. He's the expert. Though different terminology is used in different realms, like in the realm of professing religion and the world of success motivation and the corporate world, they use the terms gurus and all that. We understand that. Experts, gurus. Well, that's what these guys really are that are getting you. They're self-proclaimed gurus and experts, and they want you to think they've got this special line to God. They take all these pictures of themselves, these ministry pictures, a lot of them, and it's all about them. Don't let them kid you. Don't be deceived. You will if you don't get in the word. Lay down your life today and cry out to God in repentance for following false teachers and for committing spiritual adultery on the bridegroom by alienating the affections of your heart to a mere man. I don't care who that man is, including this fool. You better get your eyes on Jesus. You better be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And he's only going to finish that work in you and finish that faith if you abide in him on his terms. And what are those terms? You better love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you don't realize that God will damn your soul after you've been saved, if you turn to one idol, it's all it takes. You don't have a clue about Bible truth. You haven't paid attention an iota if you don't know that. The whole Old and New Testament, especially the Old, are littered with examples of the fury of God against the idolatry of his people and the warnings. In fact, he said his own name is jealous. The first commandment of the 10 is what? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto yourself any graven image of anything in heaven or earth. You're bringing curses on your own life and your children. We're going to talk about the curse of witchcraft. That's over those who have put themselves under a modern prophetic guru in just a minute. Again, God's name is jealous. His name. Exodus 34:14. So Peter finishes here in verse 19, 2 Peter 1. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as into a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first. Notice the revelation of Christ, the day star, is going to arise in your hearts as you study his more sure word of prophecy. As unto, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light. You take heed to the words of God. You study them. You pore over them. You meditate upon them. You memorize them. You read them. You ingest them. You grasp them. You embrace them. You obey them. And as you do, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. See, the light of Christ, the light of God, shines through his word into the dark recesses of our hearts. In fact, the Bible says, when they enter us, of his words bringeth light. Psalm 119, verse 30. Until the day dawn, it's not overnight, little by little. See, but then the day is going to begin to dawn. Over the horizon, the sun is going to begin to rise. and the day star arise in your heart. See, the image of the Son of God, the will of God, the person of Christ is going to be manifested in your heart personally as you take heed to the more sure word of prophecy, crying out to God for understanding and diligently studying the word of God every day as God has instructed you to do for your own safety. And if you're still running to other people who you think speak for God and not the word, you're a rebel in the eyes of God. It doesn't matter how saved you think you are. You've been turned over to a strong delusion by God. He lifted his hand from you because you don't love the truth. And that would go and pretty much fit most pastors today. They borrow their little sermon from some national fraud who sells them every week. Unbelievable. Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. That's the difference. In the scriptures, you're getting the word of God, the word from God directly, in stone, if you will. You're not getting some mere man's word that has put a spin on it in a private interpretation. The good news is that the only pure source is not any man. It's the word of God. So why would you go to a mere man? Somebody might say, well, I'm turning this broadcast off. Brother, I hope you do. I'm more happy than you that you do that. There are elders in the body of Christ, but the difference between a false elder and a true is they're pointing you to the word. So when they're talking to you, they're getting you in God's word, not to come listen to them. We're just men, guys. That's what Paul said. We're mere men, man. We gave them the word, but it is God that saved them. Right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, like verse 5, Paul says, who then is Paul? Who's Paul? Who am I? This is the Apostle Paul, folks. Excuse me? In New Testament history, past, present, and future, and I don't know anybody that would argue with this, and if they would, that's fine. There's no one in New Testament history, past, present, or future, that's going to be more rewarded than Jesus is Apostle Paul. Who then is Paul, man? And who is Apollos, who ministered with Paul? Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. But ministers, mere ministers. Now, we've made that a place of celebrity in the phony church world today, to where these ministers aren't servant elders. They're celebrities. Ridiculous. So it says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers? What is a minister? Well, think about this. When you go to a nurse and a doctor, let's say it's a legitimate situation where you got a holistic doctor who's not trying to poison you with drugs. Sorry, I just had to throw that in there. That won't cost you anything extra. Joking. But you go to like this DO, right? That's a naturopathic doctor. And he tells you that you need some echinacea or some natural herb or something natural for whatever your ailment is or for preventative health. And he has a nurse or he administers that to you. Maybe he hands you a couple of capsules of whole nutrients, herbs or something. Or however, if he does give you a shot with something that's holistic, I don't know if they do that or not, I guess they do, then somebody has to administer that. Notice, minister. See, ministers, merely true ministers of God, are conduits through which the truth of God flows. Just like the nutrients the doctor gave you just simply flow through them. They don't create anything. No mere man created anything ever and never will. Along the way, I've had a few people claim they were God. I said, hey, that's no problem. I will believe you right on the spot here, sir. If you could just produce one blade of grass for me right now, please. I tell you what, not even a blade of grass. How about a speck of dust? Go ahead, I'm waiting. You call it bluff. No man creates anything. They simply get the bread from heaven, from the Bible, the more sure word of prophecy, and convey it to the people and get the people to look at it themselves and get into it themselves. So Paul says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers, mere ministers, by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave every man. I have planted, that's all he did, was plant the seed of the word of God, the incorruptible seed, 1 Peter 1:23. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Who gave the increase? God did. So then, he says, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And what has happened is that so many people have been seduced to put their eyes on the mere planter and waterer, the mere administer of God's word, instead of God himself, which the scriptures actually elevate and feature Christ. That's why he's the living word of God. He is the word of God, and he's revealed by his spirit through his word to the people. Jesus said, search the scriptures. He said, they are they which speak of me, which reveal me. When you come to me, that is, with your heart, in repentance, and with hunger and thirst after him, wanting to know him. But you see, so many people have intercepted that relationship. They have usurpingly placed themselves above or between you and God. They want you dependent upon them. And that's why we are hammering this truth. Think about it. I had a conversation with Sister Debbie earlier, and I said, you know, a hammer, when you use a hammer, you don't just hit the rock one time to break it if you're crushing a rock. No, you hit it over and over, right? Listen to what Jeremiah says here. Is not my word like as a fire? He's saying figuratively, the word of God, speaking through Jeremiah, that the word of God is like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Now the fire, he's speaking about the chaff and the wheat in the preceding verse. So the fire of the word will burn up the chaff. And the hammer, he says, that breaketh the rock in pieces. When you hammer a big stone, you're hitting it once, you're hitting it twice, you're hitting it repeatedly to crush it. So we're going to hammer down on the truth and to expose the enemy. That's what men of God to do. Preach, warn, and teach. Colossians 1:28. Not just preach and teach. A lot of people in ministry aren't even teaching the word. They don't care to seal the law among the disciples of Christ. Isaiah 8:16. Much less warning others. Well, if you teach warning, you're teaching discernment. And then people that don't want to be found out, if you know what I mean, they don't want to be uncovered, they're not going to teach that, because you might see who they really are if you learn discernment. The word of God, when you get in the word of God, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It begins to cut away the flesh and open your eyes. It's not going to happen through any other process. There is no shortcut, beloved. You must get into the word for the word of God to get into you. And it's going to be the most beautiful, rewarding thing that you ever did and undertook. You see, God's word doesn't get read by accident, but rather with a diligent resolve and personal plan against the forces of hell. But Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. In other words, spiritual affliction and assault on a constant basis. And the Bible tells us, Paul told Timothy, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You are in a war for your own soul, friend. What's your plan? How are you approaching the study of all of God's word? Because it takes a whole Bible to make a whole disciple. Many of you listening to me have just trusted in the little bitty spackling of a few scriptures and the feel-good messages of your pastor on Sunday. That was never God's design from the beginning. He saved you to fellowship with him and be in love with him and to serve and obey him and worship him daily. Jesus made it clear, daily, through a cross walk with Christ. Not to drop into some building they call, some man put church on the sign and brings you in there and tickles your ears a little bit, throws you a couple of crumbs, and then that's your walk with God? Not at all. Hell's full of people that did that. A true disciple is a daily pupil, a student of Christ. A true disciple has truly repented and laid down his life in this world and is crucified with Christ and operating according to God's agenda. He realizes that he's not his own. He's bought with the price. You have to have firsthand knowledge of the Word of God yourself. And the only way to get firsthand knowledge of the Word of God is to obey the Lord by studying to show your own self approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. Those who choose daily not to study the Word of God prove that he is not important to them. They're not in love with him. They're more important than God to themselves. See, their self is the idol. They are absolutely committing spiritual adultery, just like the five foolish virgins in Jesus's parable of the 10 virgins who were shut out of the bridal chamber when the bridegroom came. Make no mistake, many who were once saved, that is, espoused, they got saved and were espoused or engaged to the Lord, will not be in the eternal bridal chamber of Christ of the New Jerusalem in heaven. The fact that someone sounds like they know what they're talking about does not make what they're saying is true. A lot of these prophetesses, so-called, and self-appointed prophetic people are very convincing. They got a nice smile and good pictures on social media, and people run over to them every day to see what word they got instead of warning through the Bible, the more sure word of prophecy. This is apostasy, folks. This is idolatry and spiritual adultery, and repentance is absolutely necessary. It doesn't matter how eloquently a message is communicated. That does not make it true. See, some people believe that because they go to church, so-called, or listen to preachers, that they are being matured, discipled, and growing in Christ. That's not so. The measure of learning in the divine economy is to study, to know, and to walk out the Word of God in your daily life, in your abiding walk with Christ. So back to Jeremiah 23, notice Jeremiah says rhetorically, verse 18, Jeremiah 23, many of you know, is a whole chapter exposing false leaders and giving a lot of rebuke and specifics about how they operate. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Word of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Who is it that hath marked his word and heard the word of God from God? But if they, verse 22, had stood in my counsel, in my word, the more sure word of prophecy, and had caused my people to hear my words. See, men who are really in the word with the right heart, they cause God's people to hear God's words, not their words. Then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. When people are brought to the Word of God, they're turned from evil and from the evil of their doing. Now, what's that say about these so-called modern churches where people are living in sin? It's further proof that they're not being put into the Word that would circumcise their heart and cause there to be a sanctification in light of the soon return of Jesus. Notice verse 16 right here and 17 in this chapter, Jeremiah 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. Don't listen to these prophetic frauds. They make you vain. Man, they're playing you, making merchandise of you. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. See, you know you have the mouth of the Lord speaking every time you open the Bible. Why go to any other source, friend, if you truly are going to serve God? You won't. Verse 17, they say still unto them that despise me, they tell the sinners that have been saved but are living in sin, that the Lord hath said, you shall have peace. Always a peace and prosperity message of the Joel Osteens and the false local pastors. And never have a rebuke or a strong word of repentance. These guys are powder pansies. They're not preparing God's people for the return of Jesus, for a bride without spot or wrinkle or sin or any such thing. No, they're playing these people. They're making them vain. They're using them. And they're tickling their ears, as Paul prophesied. Paul told pastors to preach the word, to be instant, in season and out of season, to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, there you go, there it is, there's the sword, out of their own evil, unrepentant hearts, out of their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall be turned away from the truth and turned to fables. Men of God, turn you to the truth. Wicked wolves posing as men of God, false Christ, false prophets, do not. They do not get you in the word. They get you looking at them. They tickle your ears. 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4. So Jeremiah finishes here. He says, they say still unto them that despise me, that the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. In other words, you're eternally secure. Everything's all right. Why do you still go to a church, friend? Let me ask you, where you don't leave convicted. You don't leave in the fear of God. I mean, first of all, this Sunday morning church rigmarole, most of us that are following Christ have broken out of that. That can be a death trap, if you will. Friend, I'm going to try to close here. I want to encourage you to beware of those who have put a spell on you, if you will. And that happens in conjunction with false doctrine. The idea that you need them or you should go to their page or go to their podcast or whatever, their videos, and have to hear a word from them is a deception. They're not going to come out and say it that way, but that's what they're doing. They're running a scam on you. How long shall you be a gullible dupe is the big question. See, Paul said to the Galatians, are you so foolish having begun in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost? Are you now made perfect in the flesh? He says, O foolish Galatians, Galatians 3, who hath bewitched you? Who put a spell on you, man? But wait, I like her personality. He's handsome. He's well-spoken. So you love him more than Jesus. You just said that right out of your own heart and out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaking, that you are more enamored with this guy or this girl than you are with Jesus Christ. And God's calling you to repent. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently, clearly set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn. Received ye the Spirit by the works of law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Really, which guru has caught your ear? Which expert? Which prophetic so-called person? When you hear that word, you might as well just run if you want to stay safe. Run to the Word of God. Run to the Lord. Run to the true disciples who are learning Scripture every day. That's what they're learning. If you're not learning and dwelling in the Scriptures, you're not of God. Oh, brother, how dare you? I just said it, and it's on the authority of the Word of God. He that is of God hears God's words, Jesus said, and said, ye therefore hear them not. You're not listening and hearing the Word of God because you're not of God. John 8:47. Could it be any clearer than that? I doubt it. John 8:47. You're either seeking a word from man or a word from God. If you're seeking a word from man, mere man, these people that call themselves prophetic, this whole NAR, New Apostolic Reformation movement, the Bethel crap, the Kansas City false prophets, all of that, the Jesus move, people are absolute frauds, folks. These are flakes. These are New Age warlocks. All of them. This exact generation of false prophets Jesus prophesied about. Did we not prophesy in your name at the judgment, they're going to say? And it's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And many of you, listen to me, still follow those absolute wolves. They're snakes. They're making merchandise of you. 2 Peter 2:1-3. They're buying you wholesale and selling you retail. And you're the foolish one who has allowed it because you haven't become a student, a pupil, a disciple of Christ. Repenting and getting in his word for yourself and manning up, taking personal responsibility to lay down your life and follow Christ according to his word in this life. And that right there is a recipe for eternal disaster. So you got a choice to make. You're going to get in the Word. And by the way, get in the King James Bible, not a cheap substitute, a corrupted satanic counterfeit. Get in the real Word of God. Denounce the rebellion. Ask God to remove the spell, the witchcraft, the yoke of bondage, the satanic covering that came over you. Ask Him for deliverance, for severance, and to cut off the curse and the evil spirits that came with it. I'm going to finish with a couple of verses here. Hosea 10:12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. Hosea 10:12. Joel 2:12. Therefore, also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. The Lord may be speaking to somebody to turn back to him with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. One more passage and then we're closing right now. James 4:7, beginning of verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God as your repentance right there. Resist the devil. That means set yourself against him. You're in a battle. You're in a war for your own soul. And he will flee from you. He has no more legal right in the lives of those who truly repent. Everybody else that's going through these, what they call spiritual warfare stuff, without repenting, they're not even preaching repentance. Are you kidding me? And you're inviting more demons on that person. You got to submit yourself to God to be able to resist the devil. Because when you repent, you submit yourself to God. You're standing in Christ. Satan has no more place in you. That's the only way to get deliverance is to repent. Anybody that's preaching that's not preaching repentance is 100% a bona fide fraud. That's the first word of the gospel. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. I love that promise, don't you? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen. God bless you, friend. Thank you for listening. And thank you, saints, for considering praying and supporting the ministry outreach, which is reaching thousands daily across the nation in many, many and world and many, many different facets of communication, including Bibles, King James Bibles that are going out to ministers that are putting them out in their areas, distributing them into medical facilities, in jails, along with the putting a lot of the Moments with Our Master devotional, 365-page new book devotional that we have. These are all available on safeguardyoursoul.com and Amazon. Those are going out to people every day. We are in the last final days. May God bless us to fulfill the great commission of Jesus. Every one of us plays our part. We are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9. God bless you, friends.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.